Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. The U.S. Supreme Court at this hour is hearing arguments prompted by the assertion of former President Donald Trump that a U.S. president has absolute immunity from criminal charges for actions taken while in office. At issue is whether Trump should stand trial on charges related to the 2020 election and charges that he participated in efforts to subvert election results. Trump's attorney, John Sauer, is arguing the case for the former president.
If a president can be charged, put on trial, and imprisoned for his most controversial decisions as soon as he leaves office, that looming threat will distort the president's decision-making precisely when bold and fearless action is most needed.
Federal prosecutors maintain there is no such protection. The federal court case overseen by Judge Tanya Chutkan has been on hold pending a ruling by the nation's highest court. President Trump is not attending the proceedings in Washington. He's back in a New York City courtroom as a criminal hush money case against him enters day three. President Biden and the leaders of 17 other countries are issuing a joint letter urging Hamas to release the hostages being held in Gaza. NPR's Asma Khalid reports.
The hostages have been held in Gaza for more than 200 days. The letter says the fate of the hostages and the civilian population in Gaza is of international concern. It specifies the hostage deal on the table would also bring an immediate and prolonged ceasefire that could lead to a surge in humanitarian aid into Gaza and lead to the, quote, credible end of hostilities. A senior Biden administration official told reporters the deal is ready to go in detail, but Hamas has rejected the terms. This joint letter was signed by the leaders of a number of countries, including, but not limited, to Colombia, Canada, and Brazil. Asma Khalid, NPR News.
There's been a steep sell-off on Wall Street today. NPR's Scott Horsley reports stocks tumbled after the Commerce Department reported a slowdown in economic growth.
GDP grew at an annual rate of 1.6% in the first 3 months of the year. That's slower than forecasters had expected and slower than the 3.4% growth rate in the final months of last year. Consumer spending is holding up relatively well, especially when it comes to services like travel and restaurant meals. Consumer spending on durable goods was down during the quarter, though, possibly reflecting the drag of higher interest rates. Higher mortgage rates have weighed on the housing market, but construction of new homes is up. Residential investment jumped at an annual rate of nearly 14% in the first quarter. Business investment was also up while government spending slowed. Scott Horsley, NPR News.
On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is off 549 points at 37,911. This is NPR News in Washington. The New York Court of Appeals has overturned a 2020 sex crimes conviction against former media mogul Harvey Weinstein and ordered a new trial. The ruling states that the judge allowed for improper rulings, including allowing women to testify about allegations that were not part of the case. Weinstein, age 72, has been serving out a prison sentence. A hearing opens today to determine if Amazon illegally interfered in a union election at one of its warehouses in Bessemer, Alabama, more than 2 years ago. Federal labor officials already ruled that Amazon interfered in a prior election at the warehouse. Stephen Bisaha of the Gulf States Newsroom reports.
Over the course of more than 3 years and two elections, Amazon fought back hard against a campaign to unionize this warehouse. The union alleges Amazon required workers to attend anti-union meetings and threatened to close the warehouse if the union won. An investigation by federal labor officials already found evidence to back up those claims. Amazon has fired back and accused the union of illegally interfering in the last election. The hearing will consider all of that, along with determining how workers actually voted. The results were too close to call, and hundreds of challenge ballots still need to be reviewed. The hearing is scheduled to last into July. For NPR News, I'm Stephen Bisaha in Birmingham, Alabama.
Ariel Henry has resigned as prime minister of Haiti. Gang violence has racked the tiny island nation, leaving more than 2,000 people killed or injured. The move made official yesterday clears the way for a new government to be formed in the Caribbean country. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Kids Mental Health Foundation, with a mission to make mental health a vital part of every child's upbringing. Offering child mental health tools and resources for parents, classrooms, and workplaces at kidsmentalhealthfoundation.org.
Good afternoon and welcome to Noon Hour Magazine right here on Allegheny Mountain Radio. 6 minutes after 12 o'clock, it is 57 degrees and a lovely sunny day in our neck of the woods. We'll have a look at that weather forecast coming up for you in a few minutes. In our local news today, we're going to hear about some school vacancies with Highland County Schools, public schools. We're also going to hear the latest from the Bath Emergency Planning Meeting and some things happening there. We'll have all of our usual Noon Hour features coming your way. We've got our Travelers in the Night coming up in the second half of the hour today. And, of course, we'll let you know what's going on in our listening area. Let's get the ball rolling with local news.
You have likely heard about the ongoing teacher shortage at schools across America, including here in Highland County. Highland County Public Schools is currently listing multiple vacancies, and parents have voiced concern over the use of long-term subs to fill positions that are required but remain open. A posting on Monday, April 15th, showed the school hiring for an elementary secretary, a special education aide, a special education teacher, a second grade teacher, a fourth grade teacher, a music teacher, an agricultural teacher, and a middle school English teacher. There are currently long-term substitutes finishing out the year in the positions of elementary secretary, elementary special education teacher, fourth grade teacher, and agricultural teacher after sudden resignations during the second semester. Notably missing from the growing list is a posting for an elementary school principal or administrator. The position was first posted in the school app on Friday, March 15th, then removed suddenly on Monday, March 18th, after school board member Sherry Sullenberger said during the school board meeting that she felt the listing was preemptive and more discussion needed to be had on whether it could be blended with another position. Sullenberger brought up the vacancy again in the April 11th meeting, and Superintendent Dr. Drew Mayers reminded the board that they had not approved a listing for that position yet and that it might be a blended situation.
We need to know what the plan is for elementary administrator before we try to hire somebody to commit to that. Should the position change or anything, I want to be honest with whoever we're hiring about what it's going to look like. So once we make a decision there, we'll be able to move forward.
A comment from board member Kenny Hodges seemed to reiterate the need to be flexible within positions as he addressed current fifth grade teacher Kimberly Richardson, who is in the audience.
And you may be teaching class too, just so you know.
It was unclear if this comment meant the board was thinking about blending elementary classes together or if he was continuing to discuss the role of elementary administrator. I reached out for a comment on this exchange since it is a question many parents in the community have and was told that the recording would be reviewed. However, a response was not received in time for this story. On Thursday, April 18th, the Highland County Sheriff's Office added further to the vacancy list at the school, announcing that they were pulling school resource officer Beth McGuire from her duties at the school back to the sheriff's office due to shortages there. Mayers released a statement on Friday afternoon. Quote, Highland County Public Schools value the presence of a sheriff's deputy on our campus and wish it was not necessary to reassign a deputy from being school-based to other duties. While understanding the safety of our entire community is the sheriff's responsibility and respecting this difficult decision, we hope to work together with the sheriff to find the resources and staff to support the permanent placement of a school resource officer in our division. As we have done in the past, Highland County Public Schools will work closely with the Highland County Sheriff's Office and other law enforcement agencies to ensure the safety of our students, staff, families, and facilities. Both the school board and the administration believes this to be one of our most important responsibilities. End quote. The next Highland County School Board meeting will be May 9th. For AMR News, I'm Britt Chambers.
Last week at the Bath County Local Emergency Planning Committee meeting, Grimm informed the committee that National Night Out will be held July 27th at Bath County High School. On August 17th, there will be an end-of-the-summer volunteer bash held at the Industrial Park in Millborough. County Administrator Michael Bender provided an update on the communications project. A request for proposals will head to the Board of Supervisors in the coming months. He said the final MOU has been completed with Green Bank. Andy Siebold, building inspector, added that West Virginia has approved to add Bath County to its state's emergency services communication system. Siebel added that the 911 center is undergoing a massive change in switching network, which will allow the center to receive more vital data and be more connected with the states. He thanked neighboring localities for adding more depth to emergency services. Chair Harold King thanked members of the committee for bringing folks together to address communication issues. Sherry Ryder, Planning and Zoning Administrator, addressed the importance of the county paying for a new ambulance for Hot Springs Rescue Squad. Older county ambulances are experiencing dependability issues. She said they are meeting with Bath Community Hospital to work out a deal to do a one-on-one exchange, and King said it's quite a challenge for all the organizations. Grimm addressed the uptick in brush fires in the county, and he reached out to BARC Electric CEO Bill Buchanan on the issue. Grimm also thanked the U.S. Forest Service for helping fight brush fires in the county. Siebel also talked about using tractors to fight fires. He wasn't asking the county to buy a tractor, but having a way to get state and federal partners to station a tractor here in Bath County, which could then be dispatched elsewhere if needed. Supervisor John Lockridge suggested asking residents to be trained to operate a tractor in a fire. Siebold said that having that prepared will make a big difference if it's done before the next big fire. For AMR News, I'm Abby Dufour.
We thank Glades Building Supply, local Ace Hardware store, for their support of Allegheny Mountain Radio. They offer seamless gutters. Glades Building Supply delivers. They are open 8 a.m. till 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can be reached at 304-799-4912.
We thank Allegheny Disposal, LLC, for their support. They provide residential, construction, and commercial disposal service to all of Pocahontas County. Commercial and construction disposal services are provided for Bath and Highland counties in Virginia. Their number is 304-456-4541.
Are you a military veteran? Do you need a computer refresher course? Do you need help with finding resources to attend college or trade school? Veterans Upward Bound can help with refresher courses and tutoring services, obtaining military transcripts, understanding GI Bill benefits, school and programs of study, admission and enrollment process, financial aid process, and time-saving links to veteran agencies. Veterans Upward Bound representatives are available to meet with you at a nearby convention. For more information, please visit the website at vubwv.org. All services and materials provided at no cost to program participants. Veterans Upward Bound is 100% federally funded by the U.S. Department of Education.
It's 15 minutes after 12 o'clock. You're listening to Noon Hour Magazine here on Allegheny Mountain Radio. Before we get into the weather forecast, do want to let you know there is a brush pile burn going on at the Greenbrier Ranger Station in Bartow today. Smoke will be visible in the vicinity, so that's where that's coming from, just to keep you informed. Partly to mostly sunny skies in our forecast today, highs upper 50s to the low 60s with light and variable winds. Partly to mostly cloudy tonight with lows in the upper 30s to the mid 40s with light and variable winds. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow with highs in the mid to upper 50s, light winds out of the southeast. Mostly cloudy tomorrow night with lows in the mid to upper 40s. And again, light winds mostly out of the southeast. Mostly cloudy on Saturday with a slight chance of morning showers and highs in the upper 50s to the low 60s. Mostly cloudy Saturday night with lows in the upper 40s to the low 50s. Keith in Bluegrass, a high of 59, low 47, 39 this morning. Just a trace of precipitation and a peak wind of 37 miles per hour. Irwin in Slaty Fork, high of 60, low 46, 43 this morning, and no winds blowing over there. The Board of Zoning Appeals meeting is scheduled for this evening. That's at 5:30 p.m. at the Highland County Modular Conference Center in Monterey. Highland County Public Schools Special Education Advisory Committee will meet this evening, 6:30 p.m. in the high school library. And the April Planning Commission is scheduled for this evening at 7:30 p.m. at the Highland County Modular Conference Center in Monterey. We have some funeral notices to share with you today. Dreema Dale King Blake, age 87, of Hot Springs, passed away Thursday, April 18th at Bath Community Hospital. A celebration of life will be held this Sunday at 3 p.m. at Falling Spring Evangelical Church, Presbyterian Church with Pastor Mike Matlack. Friends may call Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. at the church. Again, that's Dreema Dale King Blake of Hot Springs, who passed away April 18th. Online condolences may be shared at McLaughlinandYoung.com. Edith Emma Popplewell Dilly, age 104, of Lewisburg, passed away Thursday, April 18th at Seasons Place. A celebration of life will be held this Sunday at 2 p.m. at the May Chapel in White Sulphur Springs with Pastor Lowell Odell. Burial will be at the church cemetery. Again, that's Edith Popplewell Dilly of Lewisburg, who passed away April 18th. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to the May Chapel Cemetery Fund in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. Online condolences may be shared at LanceFuneralHome.com. Deborah Lou Roy, age 68, of Marlinton, passed away Friday, April 19th, at the Pocahontas Center in Marlinton. Per her wishes, she will be cremated with no services. Again, that's Deborah Lou Roy of Marlinton, who passed away April 19th. Online condolences may be shared at LanceFuneralHome.com.
Daily funeral announcements are brought to you by Oba Funeral Home. With locations in both McDowell and Warm Springs, Virginia, they have served families for over 95 years. Information and online obituaries can be found at obafuneralhome.com. They may be reached at 540-839-3451 for their Bath County location and 540-396-3451 for assistance in Highland County.
Stardate April 25th. Stars are huge.
anywhere from about 10 times the diameter of Earth to 100,000 times or more. Such a scale is just hard to fathom. One way to envision it is to consider how long it would take you to make one turn around such a giant body. An extreme example is Antares, the bright orange heart of Scorpius. It's to the lower left of the moon as they climb into good view tonight, after midnight, and about the same distance to the upper right of the moon tomorrow night. Antares is a supergiant, one of the biggest stars in the galaxy. It's also one of the brightest and heaviest. The exact numbers are a bit uncertain. In part, that's because its outer layers are extremely thin. They just kind of taper off into space. And Antares is blobby instead of perfectly round. But a good estimate says it's almost 600 million miles in diameter, about 75,000 times wider than Earth. To get a better picture of that, imagine flying around Antares in a passenger jet at 600 miles per hour. At that speed, you could circle the moon in about 11 hours, and Earth in about 40, and it would take 6 months to circumnavigate the sun. For Antares, though, you'd need to pack a lot of movies on your mobile device. That's because it would take 350 years to make one full turn around it. A whole bunch of frequent flyer miles for circling around a supergiant star. You can find out about McDonald Observatory visitor programs at mcdonaldobservatory.org. And for the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Stardate comes to you on these stations with the help of the Green Bank Observatory in Green Bank, West Virginia. GBO is a facility of the National Science Foundation.
This is Bird Note. In late April, in the Arizona desert, it's already over 90 degrees by 11 a.m., and the mercury is still rising. A cactus wren sings, perched atop a many-lobed cactus. Then it hops down to its nest, tucked among the spiny lobes of the prickly pear. In a desert realm where it's hot enough to fry an egg on a flat rock, how can the delicate nestlings of a cactus wren survive? Well, cactus wrens, which may nest several times between March and September, carefully orient their nests in tune with the season. Their bulky twig structures, shaped roughly like footballs, have a side entrance. That tubular entrance curves toward the inner chamber. When building a nest for the hot months, the wren faces the opening to receive the afternoon breeze. This circulates cooling air through the chamber and over the chicks. By contrast, a cactus wren building a nest in early March orients the entrance away from the cold winds of that season, keeping the chicks snug and warm. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann. Bird Note gives you the sounds of birds every day, and you get the sights as well when you follow us on Instagram at Bird Note Radio.
On This Day is presented by the Highland Historical Society. Today is April 25th. On this day in 1921, Jesse Clarence Ryder, 28, and his brother John V. Ryder, 26, were shot in the chest. They were both mortally wounded while resisting arrest by Sheriff Byrd and a posse of sworn deputies near their home 5 miles east of Monterey. Prior to the shootings, one member of the posse was injured by rocks thrown by the Ryder brothers.
It's 25 minutes after 12 o'clock. Let's have a look at our sports calendar. The Highland Rams and Lady Rams varsity baseball and JV softball teams play Perry McClure today. That's at 5 p.m. at Highland County. Warrior Boys varsity baseball versus the Tigers Valley Bulldogs this evening, 6 p.m. at home. Warrior Girls Softball takes on the Summers County Lady Bobcats tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. at Pocahontas County. And Warrior Boys Varsity Baseball versus the Pendleton County Wildcats next Tuesday, 6 p.m. at Pendleton. Highland County Recycling Trailer will be at the Stonewall Raritan Building tomorrow through Sunday. And Windy Cove Presbyterian Church kicks off their 275th anniversary celebration. That starts tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m. at the church with a piano viola concert featuring musicians from Garth Newell Music Center. Everyone is welcome and a reception will follow.
From the Farm Credit Studios, this is On the Farm Radio. Rural and agricultural news coming up next.
There's a man in our town who loves to plant and care for trees. We call him Mr. Arbor. A few years ago, we lost some of our trees in a storm. It was Mr. Arbor who organized volunteers and showed us how to care for the damaged trees and plant new ones. You can make a difference in your town, too. For your free Conservation Trees booklet, call the Arbor Day Foundation toll-free, 1-800-932-1433. Or write the Arbor Day Foundation, Nebraska City, Nebraska.
You're listening to On the Farm Radio with Jeff Ishii.
Farm Credit of the Virginias recently announced they are returning $32 million to farmers in Virginia, West Virginia, and Maryland who are clients of the cooperative. Brad Cornelius is chief executive officer of the organization, which was founded in 1916. Farm Credit is now the largest provider of agricultural credit in the United States. Cornelius says the $32 million refund is part of what they call the patronage program, and it does have an impact on the farm economy in the region.
Every year, our board votes to see what part of our profits we can return back to our farmers, and we've been told by economists like Dr. Dave Cole of Virginia Tech that that has a six-fold multiplier effect, that every dollar we put in causes six more dollars to move.
He says the organization has returned more than $465 million in cash refunds since 2001.
Stay tuned. Your daily pearl of wisdom is coming up next.
Just one bite from a tick can lead to serious illness, so it's important to properly prepare for any outdoor activity. Like Bob here.
Hi.
Bob has applied an insect repellent designed for ticks.
Sure.
He's wearing long sleeves to keep ticks off his skin, and to help him see the ticks better, he's wearing long, bright white pants tucked into his socks.
Yeah, I'm wearing shorts. Those are my legs.
Really?
Wow.
Okay, learn more about preventing tick-borne diseases from your local health department.
On the Farm Radio is pleased to promote and support the National FFA organization. Young people involved in agricultural education and leadership today will be our next generation of agriculturalists tomorrow. Contact your local FFA chapter to see how you can support our next generation of farmers and agribusiness leaders. More information at ffa.org.
Stay abreast of rural and agricultural news all over the eastern United States. You can do that at our website, onthefarmradio.com. Our pearl of wisdom today comes in from listener Pam Miller, who says, a true friend, they know who you are, but they like you anyway. Thank you, Pam, for that pearl of wisdom. You're on the farm, and I'm Ish.
Support for Allegheny Mountain Radio comes from the Virginia Education Association. Resources for parents and teachers at veanea.org, because a good education is good for everybody.
Tune in on a Friday afternoon right here with DJ Willie and Uncle Norris Long for TGIF Bluegrass every Friday from 2 to 3. Right here on 107.1 FM, 89.7 FM, 103.5 FM, 91.9 FM, and 88.5 FM, and 1370 on the AM side. Also on the web at AlleghenyMountainRadio.org. Great artists always on a TGIF Bluegrass, such as Dole Lawson, Quicksilver, The Lost and Found, Ricky Skaggs, J.D. Crow, Kenny and Amanda Smith, Rhonda Vincent, Joe Mullins, many more. Have yourself a great day, and don't forget a TGIF Bluegrass Friday, every Friday from 2 to 3. DJ Willie and Uncle Norris, tune in.
Now the latest from VNN, the Virginia News Network.
The University of Virginia has moved to punish a campus fraternity for hazing.
A video posted to YouTube last week confirmed that UVA has revoked the charter and expelled the Pi Kappa Alpha fraternity from campus for the next 4 years. The executive vice president of the National Pi Kappa Alpha organization said an investigation confirmed abhorrent and detestable hazing activities at the UVA chapter. The national organization will be pursuing legal action against the chapter. At least three other fraternities have also been suspended for hazing violations as part of the ongoing investigation. I'm Richard Stelling.
The American Lung Association is recognizing an area along the Virginia-Tennessee border as one of the cleanest cities in America. The organization released its annual State of the Air report this week and recognized five U.S. cities for having the cleanest air. The Bristol-Kingsport-Johnson City region had no days of high ozone or particle pollution and ranked in the top 25 cities with the lowest year-round particle pollution levels. A business that opened almost 90 years ago now has a foothold in Richmond. The Texas Inn opened its first Richmond location on Saturday in the Museum District at North Colonial Avenue and Patterson Avenue. It offers Southern diner food. The first Texas Inn opened in Lynchburg in 1935, and it now has two locations there, one in Harrisonburg and this one where Izzy's Kitchen used to be. Owner Dave Saunders tells 8 News he hopes to eventually hire enough staff to be open 24/7. President Joe Biden is once again reading teleprompter instructions. On Wednesday, Biden was speaking at the annual conference for North America's Building Trades Union. However, during his speech, he slipped up and read the word pause after asking the crowd to imagine what 4 more years could bring. Biden did realize his mistake and chuckled as a response to reading the teleprompter instruction. In 2022, the president said, end of quote, repeat the line, while responding to the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. I'm Rebecca Hughes.
This is VNN, the Virginia News Network.
It is 27 minutes before 1 o'clock. You're listening to Noon Hour Magazine here on Allegheny Mountain Radio. A reminder, there is a brush pile burn going on at the Greenbrier Ranger Station in Bartow today, so smoke will be visible within the vicinity of that ranger station. Partly to mostly sunny today, highs upper 50s to the low 60s, partly to mostly cloudy tonight, lows in the upper 30s to the mid 40s. Great Greenbrier River Race is coming up Saturday beginning at 11 a.m. That is on Main Street in Marlinton, always a wonderful and fun spectacle to watch. An intro to Birding Walk is at the Green Bank Public Library Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon. Binoculars are limited, so if you have a pair, they would appreciate it if you bring your own. More information or to register, 304-456-4507. The rain date is May 4th. Zuzu's Hot Five brings traditional 1920s jazz to the Poconos Opera House Saturday night, beginning at 7:30 p.m. There is a fee for those over 17. More information at 304-799-6645 or PocahontasOperaHouse.org. And the Highlands Community Orchestra will present their spring concerts Sunday. That's at 3 p.m. at the Highlands Center in Monterey. Everyone is welcome, and they will have a reception with refreshments following the concert. All right, we want to wish a very happy birthday today to Susie Moyers Ruddle and to Carol Spade. And Carol is the youngest of 13 children Her children, Bucky, Penny, and Mike, want to wish her a very happy birthday today. So happy birthday, Susie and Carol. They're celebrating their birthdays or sharing their birthdays with inventor G. Marconi, who had the first long-distance radio transmission. Jazz singer Ella Fitzgerald, basketball star Meadowlark Lemon from the Harlem Globetrotters, actor Al Pacino, who was in The Godfather, actor Hank Azaria, who does many of the Simpson voices and the show, the character Brockmeyer, which I have to say, I've seen Brockmeyer. It is a hilarious program, definitely not for young children. And actress Gina Torres, also born on April 25th from the Firefly show.
That riff can only mean one thing. You're listening to Chuck Berry. And you're on the sound beat. Okay, two things.
Well, I'm gonna write a little letter. I'm gonna mail it to my local DJ. Yeah, it's a jumping little record I want my jockey to play.
Hearing your daughter play classical music must be a tremendous joy for a parent, and perhaps a source of sheer torment for a sibling. Especially if said sibling is Chuck Berry, who reportedly wrote this song as a response to his sister monopolizing the family piano. He recorded it for Chess Records in 1956. It's the quintessential us versus them song, a signal that the Beethovens and Tchaikovskys had been replaced by the Louis Jordans, Carl Perkinses, and Bo Diddleys. They're all referenced, somewhat indirectly, in the song's fourth verse.
Well, in the morning, I'm giving you my morning, don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Hey, diddle, diddle, I'm gonna play my fiddle, ain't got nothing to lose.
If you missed the references, go to soundbeat.org and we'll break them down for you. If you caught them, good job. Soundbeat is produced at the Belfer Audio Archive, Syracuse University Libraries. I'm Brett Berry.
In 2018, my team, the Catalina Sky Survey, discovered five of the six Earth-approaching objects larger than 1 kilometer or about 0.6 miles in diameter. Asteroid hunters have identified nearly 900 such large celestial visitors and suspect that fewer than 100 of this size or larger are yet to be discovered. The discovery of more than 90% of our 1 kilometer or larger neighbors is important, since the impact of one of them has the possibility to produce global climate change. The latest large asteroid discovery was made by my teammate Alex Gibbs in the constellation of Orion with our 60-inch telescope on Mount Lemmon, Arizona. Fortunately, on its current path, which crosses the orbits of Earth and Mars, Alex's 3,400-foot diameter discovery, now named 2018 XV5, never comes closer than about 12.5 Earth-Moon distances from humanity. According to the Purdue University and Imperial College of London's impact calculator, an asteroid the size of 2018 XV5 strikes the Earth every 310,000 years or so, creating a crater 7.5 miles in diameter and 2,000 feet deep in sedimentary rock. 10 miles from ground zero, it would feel like a 7.5 magnitude earthquake, and a 2,900 mile per hour wind would devastate the landscape. The extremely remote chance that such a dangerous mountain-sized space rock has our number on it is what keeps my team going to our four telescopes in the Catalina Mountains north of Tucson, Arizona. For Travelers in the Night, this is Dr. Al Grauer. Go to travelersinthenight.org, program 524, for more information.
Pocahontas Memorial Hospital, located on Route 219 at Buckeye, West Virginia, supports our programming. They are a critical access hospital that offers 24-hour emergency room services and a rural health clinic. Information is available at 304-799-7400. Or on the web at pmhwv.org.
Here's today's edition of Health in a Heartbeat. When is the last time you had scientific evidence that a cheaper option was just as effective as a pricier one? A new study that looked at two methods for protecting public school children's teeth from cavities did just that. New York University researchers looked at two types of tooth decay prevention in nearly 3,000 elementary pupils. A method that used silver diamine fluoride, a liquid brushed onto the surface of teeth, was as effective as dental sealants, which are more common and cost more. One dose of either topical treatment blocked roughly 80% of cavities and kept 50% of cavities from getting worse after 2 years. The federal government advocates for and funds some dental care for school children. Painful cavities, children from low-income families are twice as likely to have them as kids from wealthier families, are associated with poor academic performance. The NYU team's visit to schools began in 2019 as part of a cavity prevention study called Carried Away. The randomized trial compared the simple silver diamine fluoride, called SDF, with a more complex treatment that used traditional glass ionomer sealants and fluoride varnish. Both are applied to the surface of teeth. The COVID-19 pandemic paused the study, and the team finally returned to the schools for follow-up visits in March 2022. Exams of the kids' teeth found that both methods worked well. Just one treatment blocked more than 80% of cavities, and both stopped about half of their cavities from progressing. In this case, it seems the bargain option is a true value. Health in a Heartbeat is produced by University of Florida Health, committed to advancing excellence in patient care, research, and education, and by WUFTFM. Our medical advisors include University of Florida College of Medicine faculty members who provide the latest information in health research and patient care. Visit us at heartbeatradio.org.
Biochar and carbon. I'm Randy Simon, and this is Earthwise, a look at our changing environment. Biochar is a charcoal-like substance that is made by burning organic materials like crop and forestry wastes in a controlled process called pyrolysis, which is burning in an oxygen-deprived environment. Pyrolysis produces little or no contaminating fumes and results in a stable form of carbon that can't easily escape into the atmosphere. Biochar is a very efficient way to convert carbon into a stable form. Adding charred biomass to improve soil quality has been done for thousands of years. Indigenous people in the Amazon added charcoal, food residue, and other waste to their soil. When mixed with soil, biochar creates favorable conditions for root growth and microbial activities, which reduces greenhouse gas emissions. Last year, 125,000 tons of carbon dioxide were removed worldwide in the durable carbon market, which is a carbon credit marketplace for carbon removal. About 93% of that was in the form of biochar. Biochar represents a value-added way to deal with agricultural waste and also to make use of dead trees and forests that should be removed to lower the risk of wildfires caused by the presence of all that dry tinder material. A bill to fund biochar research is pending before the Senate Agricultural Committee. It is a rare example of bipartisan legislation. Biochar is currently expensive to make in the U.S. because large amounts of biomass must be shipped to one of the fewer than 50 small-scale production facilities in the country. But with appropriate infrastructure, biochar could play an important role in efforts to sequester carbon and combat climate change. Earthwise is a production of WAMC. Find us on social media at WAMC Radio and listen anytime at WAMCpodcasts.org.
It's just about 15 minutes before 1 o'clock. Let's have another look at our weather forecast. Partly to mostly sunny today, highs in the upper 50s to the low 60s. Partly to mostly cloudy tonight, lows in the upper 30s to the mid 40s. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow with highs in the mid to upper 50s, light winds out of the southeast. Mostly cloudy tomorrow night, lows in the mid to upper 40s and light winds also out of the southeast. Mostly cloudy on Saturday with a slight chance of morning showers, highs in the upper 50s to the low 60s. Mostly cloudy Saturday night with lows in the upper 40s to the low 50s. We're going to have another listen to our local news stories.
Last week, at the Bath County Local Emergency Planning Committee meeting, Grimm informed the committee that National Night Out will be held July 27th at Bath County High School. On August 17th, there will be an end-of-the-summer volunteer bash held at the Industrial Park in Millboro. County Administrator Michael Bender provided an update on the communications project. A request for proposals will head to the Board of Supervisors in the coming months. He said the final MOU has been completed with Green Bank. Andy Siebold, building inspector, added that West Virginia has approved to add Bath County to its state's emergency services communication system. Siebold added that the 911 center is undergoing a massive change in switching network, which will allow the center to receive more vital data and be more connected with the states. He thanked neighboring localities for adding more depth to emergency services. Chair Harold King thanked members of the committee for bringing folks together to address communication issues. Sherry Ryder, Planning and Zoning Administrator, addressed the importance of the county paying for a new ambulance for Hot Springs Rescue Squad. Older county ambulances are experiencing dependability issues. She said they are meeting with Bath Community Hospital to work out a deal to do a one-on-one exchange, and King said it's quite a challenge for all the organizations. Grimm addressed the uptick in brush fires in the county, and he reached out to BARC Electric CEO Bill Buchanan on the issue. Grimm also thanked the U.S. Forest Service for helping fight brush fires in the county. Siebold also talked about using tractors to fight fires. He wasn't asking the county to buy a tractor, but having a way to get state and federal partners to station a tractor here in Bath County, which could then be dispatched elsewhere if needed. Supervisor John Lockridge suggested asking residents to be trained to operate a tractor in a fire. Siebold said that having that prepared will make a big difference if it's done before the next big fire. For AMR News, I'm Abby Dufour.
You have likely heard about the ongoing teacher shortage at schools across America, including here in Highland County. Highland County Public Schools is currently listing multiple vacancies, and parents have voiced concern over the use of long-term subs to fill positions that are required but remain open. A posting on Monday, April 15th, showed the school hiring for an elementary secretary, a special education aide, a special education teacher, a second grade teacher, a fourth grade teacher, a music teacher, an agricultural teacher, and a middle school English teacher. There are currently long-term substitutes finishing out the year in the positions of elementary secretary, elementary special education teacher, fourth grade teacher, and agricultural teacher after sudden resignations during the second semester. Notably missing from the growing list is a posting for an elementary school principal or administrator. The position was first posted in the school app on Friday, March 15th, then removed suddenly on Monday, March 18th, after school board member Sherry Sullenberger said during the school board meeting that she felt the listing was preemptive and more discussion needed to be had on whether it could be blended with another position. Sullenberger brought up the vacancy again in the April 11th meeting, and Superintendent Dr. Drew Mayers reminded the board that they had not approved a listing for that position yet, and that it might be a blended situation.
We need to know what the plan is for elementary administrator before we try to hire somebody to commit to the should the position change or anything. I want to be honest with whoever we're hiring about what it's going to look like. So once we make a decision there, we'll be able to move forward.
A comment from board member Kenny Hodges seemed to reiterate the need to be flexible within positions as he addressed current fifth grade teacher Kimberly Richardson, who is in the audience.
And you may be teaching class too, just so you know.
It was unclear if this comment meant the board was thinking about blending elementary classes together, or if he was continuing to discuss the role of elementary administrator. I reached out for a comment on this exchange since it is a question many parents in the community have and was told that the recording would be reviewed. However, a response was not received in time for this story. On Thursday, April 18th, the Highland County Sheriff's Office added further to the vacancy list at the school, announcing that they were pulling school resource officer Beth McGuire from her duties at the school back to the sheriff's office due to shortages there. Mayors released a statement on Friday afternoon. Quote, Highland County Public Schools value the presence of a sheriff's deputy on our campus and wish it was not necessary to reassign a deputy from being school-based to other duties. While understanding the safety of our entire community is the sheriff's responsibility and respecting this difficult decision, we hope to work together with the sheriff to find the resources and staff to support the permanent placement of a school resource officer in our division. As we have done in the past, Highland County Public Schools will work closely with the Highland County Sheriff's Office and other law enforcement agencies to ensure the safety of our students, staff, families, and facilities. Both the school board and the administration believes this to be one of our most important responsibilities. End quote. The next Highland County School Board meeting will be May 9th. For AMR News, I'm Britt Chambers.
Music, music, music.
We've got your rhythm, we got your blues, we have your gospel, and some jazz too. Here's something country, here's some rock and roll. How about bluegrass? You know so. It might be old, it might be new, but we've got it, all the music just for you. Where can you find it? That's easy. On the radio stations right in your own community. Allegheny Mountain Radio.
All I want is having you and music, music, music.
Friends, we have older neighbors who could use some good nutrition and kindness. Hi, this is Harmony Leonard, inviting you to join us as a Meals on Wheels volunteer. You'll be delivering hot meals, safety checks, and hope to older adults who need it most. Hours are flexible and the rewards are countless. You can make a difference today by calling 540-468-2178.
We've got Metro News coming up here very shortly. Let's look at some other things happening in our listening area. Pocahontas County High School Career Day is coming up this Monday from noon to 3 p.m. in the school's gym. More information at 304-799-6564. Highland Elementary School's kindergarten registration is happening on Monday, May 20th. From 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Highland Elementary School. More information at 540-468-6360. Your child's birth certificate should be brought to registration. All 2023 Pocahontas real and personal taxes must be paid in full by Tuesday to avoid publication and penalties. Children in grades K through 5 are invited to an after-school program at the Highland County Public Library Tuesday from 3:20 to 4:15 for crafts and games that center around a theme of friendship. Students at Highland Elementary can sign up to ride the bus through the Rams Review newsletter. Pocahontas Green Box sites have changed to summer hours. They are open Wednesday and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sunday, 1 to 6 p.m., and early voting in person for the West Virginia May 14th primary begins next Wednesday and ends on May 11th.
West Virginia Metro News, I'm Chris Lawrence. Final approval of the Clean Power 2.0 plan drawing heavy criticism from U.S. senators from West Virginia. The federal EPA's plan says coal-fired power plants either have to capture their emissions or shut down. Senator Shelley Moore Capito says, quote, President Biden has inexplicably doubled down on his plan to shut down the backbone of America's electrical grid through unachievable regulatory mandates. And Senator Joe Manchin said the plan could tank the economy.
It's really an awful situation that they're going down. It could really be jeopardizing the reliability in the grid system. And I'm going to tell you, you start having really brownouts and blackouts, and we know one thing. People's lives are in jeopardy when that happens. And next of all, the economies will collapse if that happens.
Manchin says there will be court challenges. In Morgantown, Governor Jim Justice and others are on hand to break ground on the new KOA campground and resort near Milan Park, an $11 million investment on 35 acres of reclaimed mine land with space for 148 RVs. Tourism Secretary Chelsea Ruby says RV camping's big and will draw a lot of people.
If you look at the accommodation sector of the tourism economy, RV camping is one of the fastest growing things. This is something where we don't have enough capacity in West Virginia. We have more campers than we have spots.
Milam Park started with 30 acres donated by Milam Pushkar in 1999 and 25 years later is over 1,000 acres. News conference this hour in Charleston focusing on the new Capital Sports Center project in the Town Center Mall. You're listening to Metro News, the voice of West Virginia.
This is Trooper John Carpenter with the Virginia State Police, here with a reminder to take proper precautions and share the road. Highland County and surrounding areas now have an increased number of horse-drawn buggies on our roadways, and these can create special challenges due to their slower speeds and visibility, especially at night. Motorists are urged to be aware of their presence in the area and be cautious when approaching, following, or passing these buggies. Also, try to anticipate their presence, especially in the curves and approaching hills. Take care so everyone can arrive alive.
Ready to get on the road to good health? Valley Program for Aging Services is now offering transportation to and from medical appointments for adults 60 years of age and older in Bath County. Rides are offered Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. based on availability. If you have an appointment within a 75-mile radius of Hot Springs, you may schedule your appointment with Harmony Leonard at 540-468-2178.
State Board of Education and the Department of Education honored 46 newly certified teachers from 20 West Virginia counties Wednesday. Caddo County Superintendent Ryan Sachs says the certification is ultimately a benefit to the student more so than the teacher.
What it does to enrich the opportunities for our students because of the skills that these teachers have is something we're truly blessed by.
88 other teachers were re-certified. From the Metro News Anchor Desk, I'm Chris Lawrence.
Partly to mostly sunny skies today, highs upper 50s to the low 60s. Partly to mostly cloudy tonight, lows in the upper 30s to the mid 40s. Board of Zoning Appeals meeting coming up this evening at 5:30 p.m. at the Highland County Modular Conference Center in Monterey. That will be followed by the April Planning Commission meeting. That's at 7:30 p.m. at the Highland County Modular Conference Center. And Highland County Public Schools Special Education Advisory Committee will meet this evening at 6:30 p.m. in the high school library. Highland County Recycling Trailer is at the Stonewall Ruritan Building tomorrow through Sunday. And Windy Cove Presbyterian Church kicks off their 275th anniversary celebration. That's coming up tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. at the church. A piano viola concert featuring musicians from Garth Newell Music Center is scheduled. Everyone is welcome and a reception will follow. You've been listening to Noon Hour Magazine here on Allegheny Mountain Radio, WVMR Frost, West Virginia, WVLS Monterey, Virginia, WCHG Hot Springs, Virginia, WVMR FM Hillsboro, West Virginia, WNMP Marlinton, West Virginia, WDMT Marlinton, West Virginia, W278AL Durban, West Virginia, and online at AlleghenyMountainRadio.org. We've got Soul Survivor coming your way next. KC and Top Cat have a great show for you as usual, so you want to keep tuned in for that. It's 1 o'clock.